Love craft beer and spirits in general? Well, thinking about trying your hand at the brewing business? Well, we sat down with Steve Humshill, the man behind Lanikai Brewing Company, who says he has the best job in the world, and he wants to share what he's learned about the regulatory side of the business with others.
Craft beer brewing is all about collaborative. It's all about partnering and sharing, and it's really easy when we run out of grain or we need a supply. We contact one of our competitors and say, hey, can I borrow that from you? Or do you need something that we can help you with? Or can we reduce costs by shipping all of our stuff together in one container? So beer in general is very collaborative. And so this approach to be able to teach people about the business of beer kind of is along that ethos.
And what got you into this?
Into beer?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love beer? Initially, when I first was introduced to beer, I learned how to do it at my house. And I knew how to repair surfboards, and a friend knew how to produce beer. So they take about the same amount of time. And we couldn't find beer, at least for us, that represented Hawaii. So we wanted beer that infused local flavors heavily in every single beer that we could have. So that was kind of the genesis of ours, is we started discovering the different flavors of Hawaii and trying to make authentic Hawaiian beer. And at the same time, we were kind of repairing surfboards, and then that would kind of repeat itself. So we would go surf, break boards, drink the beer we had just made, make new beer, surf again. And that kind of continued on for a number of years before I decided really to go down the path of opening a commercial brewery.
And you learned some good lessons in the process.
You do, yeah. What most people don't realize is beer and alcohol in general is a federal product. It's federally regulated. So you have the, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and there's a subsection of that called the TTB that looks at everything from the recipes that you formulate to your labels to make sure that it's a consumer safety issue. So then from the federal side, it goes down to the state side, and state goes into city and county, and then you have all the different departments that you're regulated by. So it's quite a heavy laundry list that most people don't realize the amount of regulation that goes into every single beer or spirit or wine that's produced.
And that's what you hope to kind of cover in this class.
Yeah, exactly. So the general process of the course is really that we want to help people, not teach them how to produce beer or wine or spirits, that's their responsibility, but just to help them through the business hurdles so that they recognize what their expenses are, what their regulatory compliance can be, and things that are more directly associated with the business of producing craft liquor, wine, beer.
And most people think of beer, but we have companies that are doing other things. You've got a rum company, vodka,
yeah.
Wine?
Yeah, for sure. Craft kind of represents kind of small entrepreneurial, small batch basis. Back in the historical days, there would be a brewery on every single corner. And when you would, at the end of your workday, that's where you would go drink beer, and you wouldn't have these national brands. And so craft beer means it's not corporate owned. It's generally not distributed nationwide, although there are some. But it's really more about supporting local entrepreneurs and the business of craft everything have been exploding, and beer has probably been the champion right now. Beer is fermented, and then spirits are fermented, then distilled. So there are different regulatory compliances that you need from either the label side or from your production side that could impact your compliance with those laws.
You're really then providing the roadmap that you didn't have when you started.
Right, yeah. I would love to see more breweries. I'd love to see more distilleries and wineries. I would love to see more of those in Hawaii. And it's my opinion that a lot of people are there. Like I said, there's no roadmap. So there's no way to know that even if you're a good actor and you want to be compliant with everything, you don't always know what you haven't, what permit that you didn't submit for. And sometimes a lot of it just comes at you later on in the game. And to open up a craft producer is very expensive. You're a manufacturing facility. And if you're not aware and you can't plan your business accordingly, then you could end up either going bankrupt or all these things. And I would hate to see anybody that is as dedicated and passionate about a product that I am go down that path only to realize that they ran out of money or that they couldn't do it.
So we often hear that Hawaii has a very anti-business climate, but this is one thing that you're trying to do to kind of help people get started.
Yeah, or just be able to help them better analyze that opportunity for themselves. If they look at it and look at the you know, the complications and that roadmap and have just a nice painted picture in front of them, or the best one that we can, then they can decide if they want to get into the business or not. So we're just trying to be able to provide more information to the consumer, or to the hopefully the future entrepreneur that wants to get into it. So when they're ready to get into it, they have less questions, they have more certainty, their business plan is stronger, and that they can really come in. It's better for the entire industry if businesses don't fail right after they start. So we're just trying to help everybody get a heads up of information up front, so then they can start their business.
Okay. And so tell us about the classes. When will they be held, and what will be offered?
So there's three different part series of the different classes, and the first one's coming up on the 26th. You can kind of go through and decide. So some deals with kind of marketing and compliance, some deals with state, some deals with federal. So it can break it down. So if people have general knowledge of some, then they can skip that portion, or they can attend the entire three-part course and get a more comprehensive view. So they can look through everything from trademarking to compliance, licensing, anything that they feel that they need to like learn more or want to at least have access to somebody who's gone down that road before.
Do these classes then get you some kind of special certification?
It is a certificate. You do get a certificate in the end. But really what we're trying to provide is confidence to the people to be able to decide if they want to open that business or not, so they can really have a good understanding of what it is.
What do you think was probably the most difficult thing for you as someone who has decided, hey, I'm going to do beer?
I guess what I never realized is how long the runway takes to get licensed. And luckily we had in all of our projections, we had kind of padded them. So we did all right, but it can take 8 months to 2 years to get your license. But during that time, you're paying for you're leasing a facility, and it's generally manufacturing, so you need a large facility, and then lease costs in Hawaii are very large. So, you know, every month you're shelling out, you know, could be tens of thousands of dollars while you're waiting for that license to produce. So you have a large financial cash outlay at the beginning, and then your hope is that you'll continue to be successful and then recuperate that later down the line. So to me, that was I really didn't believe it was going to take as long as it did. And it does. It's, as you mentioned, Hawaii's not the most business-friendly state, so there's things that are very slow to move or people are on vacation. And then you also have the federal side and the state and the city and county and everything that gets involved.
I know I did see something on the news about how this federal shutdown has affected some small brewers.
Yeah, I'm one of them right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have beers that any beer that uses exotic ingredients besides kind of a laundry list of a short one has to be approved federally, your recipe. So we have beers whose recipes have been submitted that, you know, since those employees aren't allowed to work, we're not getting approvals for those. And then the corresponding labels then haven't been approved. So we have beer that's made and ready to go to market, but our labels are not approved by the Fed and neither is our recipe. So we're just kind of trapped in limbo waiting to release beers.
So how long is this beer good for?
It depends. All styles of beer are different. You know, some beers can age beautifully over 7-8 years. Some are designed to drink fresh.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not so much like your product is going to spoil, but you just want to be able to get it to market and get out there to be sold and enjoyed.
Yeah, I just want to share beer. That's all I want to do. Yeah.
So is this a big hiccup for you? I mean, I don't know. You have probably other product that's out there good to go.
We work with a lot of exotic ingredients, so we're used to kind of the slow process, and we plan ahead. So it won't – I mean, we'll still – all the beers that we've produced so far, we'll still be able to produce those. This is just kind of new beers that we haven't made yet. So we're slightly impacted, but it's not going to stop us from keeping the lights on and making sure employees are paid and things like that.
Okay. And then you mentioned that you're also in the process of putting a distillery together.
Correct.
To do spirits?
Yep, to do spirits, ciders, and then maybe champagne as well. Yeah, and that's kind of in process as well. But those licenses are also kind of bogged down by the shutdown at this time. Yeah.
Anyone interested in the University of Hawaii course that Hamshild will be teaching should think about registering right away. The course starts on January 26th and runs 3 weekends. The deadline to sign up for the course is next Tuesday, January 22nd. Find links on our Facebook page, The Conversation HPR.